So, I'm very pleased to be here among such esteemed colleagues, but I'm actually happier to be here because of the fact that I'm presenting the other side of the coin, and as you mentioned in your last presentation, we need to know about, from the consumer's perspective, how PrEP is actually going to be accepted or not. So first I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Mary Ann Chazon from Public Health Solutions, Francine Shukat Shaw from NYU, and one of my doctoral students at Teachers College, Dina Simmons. No personal financial relationships to disclose. Okay, we're done with that. So this has already been said before by the previous presenters, but just wanted to again highlight the fact that as far as cases of HIV infection in the past few years, we have still been seeing an increase among men who have sex with men, but when it comes to the burn among MSM of color, we still see that African Americans and Latinos have been having a disproportionate proportion of HIV infection. So again, HIV continues to disproportionately affect men who have sex with men. And surprisingly, we know that we have to do more, but there's so much more research that has to be done to see what can actually work to bring these numbers of cases down. So what my colleagues and I at Public Health Solutions and NYU did was that we wanted to develop a video to address some of these issues. And we came up with a video called Ask Me, Tell Me, in which we also produced a Spanish version called Pregúntame, Dime. And it was funded by the New York City AIDS Fund of the New York Community Trust in 2010. As part of this video development project, we decided to conduct three focus groups in order to inform the script development for this video. And what we ended up getting were 26 men who have sex with men, where we were asking them questions to assess their beliefs, their attitudes, and their experience, not just with PrEP, but also with post-exposure prophylaxis, as well as HIV status disclosure, as well as some other issues. So the educator in me had to come out. So just making sure that we have the definitions of PrEP and PEP for you. As the CDC defines PrEP, part of comprehensive HIV prevention in which high-risk HIV-negative people take a daily antiretroviral medication to lower their chances of getting infected with HIV. But I just wanted to quickly delineate PEP for a minute, because, and this is an area where my students get very confused. As far as post-exposure prophylaxis, many of us know that when it comes to PEP, it's taking the anti-HIV drugs within a 72-hour period after being exposed to HIV to try to reduce the chance of infection. But non-occupational PEP is specifically talking about potentially being exposed to HIV outside of the healthcare-based workplace. So what we will be talking about here is PrEP and NPEP, as well as other HIV-related issues. So the sample that we got from our focus groups, primarily African-American and Latino identified, the mean age was around 41, so we did skew towards an older male sample, primarily gay as well as primarily HIV-positive. And one other piece of demographic that I did not post here is that because of the way that we recruited the men for these focus groups to thousands of different CBOs within the New York City area and beyond, we ended up getting a lot of men who either worked at or were affiliated with community-based organizations. So we will see that the statements that I show you will allow them come from men who are actually working at community-based organizations and are pretty knowledgeable about these issues that we're talking about. So we use a structured group interview guide, and we develop the items ourselves, where we're looking at emerging prevention efforts, HIV status disclosure, as well as other relevant issues. These are the seven main questions that we used in the interview guide, and we've already gotten requests from different entities around the country for this. The data that I'm going to be showing you today primarily comes from answers to these three questions. It's important to note that not only was I a partner in developing the video and developing this aspect of the video production project, but I was also very happy to actually conduct the three focus groups, and I got to see the passion that these men expressed in giving their answers to these questions, and in some cases they got a bit too passionate. So, but we were very happy about that. So as far as the analysis for this presentation, we only have preliminary data to present. And so it's only a first pass, and we are looking at knowledge and attitudes about PrEP, PEP, prevention methods, as well as disclosing HIV status. What we hope to do within the next year is to conduct more detailed qualitative analysis based on structured coding, as well as grounded theory for publication. And one of the lenses that we're going to use is the diffusion of innovation theory, since PrEP is a very new concept. So 50% of our sample reported being aware of PrEP. From those 50%, what we found that about 25% of them were ambivalent about PrEP and believe that it may actually help increase risky behaviors among MSM. And here's a statement from a 46-year-old gay-identified African-American who was HIV positive, in which he said, you know, he's heard about PrEP before because I'm in the field just giving more people options and being risky and having unprotected sex. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. I'm really kind of in between. And within the focus groups, we noticed that some men agreed with that statement, and we really wanted to find out more about that. We have another African-American gay male here, a bit younger, age 30, and HIV negative, where he says, it's the same thing with the, well, let me start off over here. If I use protection, I'm going to use protection. If I don't use protection, it's the same thing with the harm reduction model. This is obviously someone who is very knowledgeable about the issues that we were discussing. If you give people safe needles, is it going, if it's going to make more people use intravenous drugs? No. At least you're giving people who are shooting up an option. There's not enough education about the PrEP. And actually, some of the men did refer to the PrEP or the PEP. And one of the things that we really want to note here is the fact that there is some discussion within the community about how well PrEP is going to be accepted in their communities as well as among providers. One of the questions that we also asked them was not just about PrEP, but about NPEP. And over 50% of them were aware of NPEP and also agreed that it's a viable prevention option. And this gay African-American male who is HIV positive around age 31, he said, why don't we give out pills instead of condoms? People are having sex every day, so they'll just pop a pill. I wish when I did have unprotected sex, when I thought that, oh shit, I may be in danger. If I knew that, okay, if I went to my doctor and said, hi, can you give me a pill real quick? And I remember being at that moment and a lot of men doing like this, yeah, why not? So there's some level of acceptability of NPEP along with PrEP in this community. In addition to that statement, we have a younger African-American HIV-positive gay male here who says that as far as PrEP and NPEP, you know, it's just like having birth control pills, having pills accessible for anybody who's sexually active, especially when you're young, you know. And this is a really interesting statement because as we notice, and it's been mentioned before, the rates of HIV, new HIV infection among young black MSM have been increasing. So this is an area that we will really have to investigate even further to see just how viable PrEP and NPEP would be for that population. It says lastly there, but I actually have one more thing that I want to show you. over 80% of the sample here agreed that HIV disclosure is important. And one of the statements that was made was by someone who really didn't agree with that statement. He basically said that, "I don't feel that I need to disclose I'm HIV positive to every person, because every person that I meet is not someone that I'm going to ultimately have sex with." He's an older HIV positive gay African American man. And the reason I want to make sure to highlight that is so that we can see the other side. So the majority of them agreed that disclosure is important. But in this group of men, HIV status disclosure was not an easy thing to talk about. And we really have to consider that when we start disseminating messages about acceptability of new prevention methods. Not surprisingly, 100% of this sample agreed that services in the community needed to be improved. But we were really, really struck by this one statement by a respondent who was a gay, Latino and African American identified HIV negative man, who said that this is the direction the HIV prevention messages were going. And we actually used this in the video that I'll actually show you the link to. He said, "After a while it gets old, it sounds like I heard it yesterday, you say it with another voice, you get an entertainer to say it. It's the same message. It's not reaching anybody. I think like when I fly, the stewardess," you can tell he's a little older, he said stewardess, "the stewardess, her job, who listens to her, I can't believe it. She or he has to come to you, right?" It makes sense, right? "She or he has to come to you if you're in the emergency room and do that spiel." And we all know that spiel, right? Yeah, at the exit row. "But most people are asleep or completely tune her out." We've heard that before. I think that's part of the numbing, the oversaturation of these HIV prevention messages. And when we heard this and saw it on the transcripts of the focus groups, we felt that this is what so many men are saying about the HIV prevention messages in their community. They're getting hit over the head with it over and over and over, and it is just like being in the exit row on an airplane. So, as you can tell, you know, there was high awareness of PrEP and high awareness of MPEP, but there wasn't complete agreement with its feasibility. And again, this is something we really have to investigate much further. A lot of the men were frustrated with the prevention efforts, and as we can tell from the discussions that we had with them, there was a lot of difficulty with disclosure, and they were pretty ambivalent about the future of HIV prevention. And I'm a bit concerned about that, because if they're ambivalent about the future of HIV prevention, and these are men from my communities, Black and Latino MSM, then it's going to make it more difficult for us to develop the prevention messages that will work for them. Thus, I make this statement. PrEP, MPEP, and discussion of disclosure need to be put in context with other culturally appropriate messages. So we need to really keep that in mind, not just in our programming, but in the future research that we conduct. Of course, there were limitations to this because they were focus groups, it was small sample size, they were self-selected men who volunteered for this, there was a skew of HIV positive and older men, and it was only conducted in Manhattan, and participants were mostly from New York City, and of course, this was only preliminary data, so very limited generalizability. In conclusion, and it was perfect timing with Ron's presentation, the fact is we really did this in response to what we knew was going to be something that was going to be very big, and that is the National HIV-AIDS Strategy. And the results for this are going to be very helpful for enhancing current HIV prevention work for urban MSM, but especially in assessing the efficacy of PrEP and non-occupational post-exposure prophylaxis as prevention for Black and Latino MSM. If you are interested in seeing the final version of the video that we produced, incorporating some of the views of the men from the focus groups, I urge you to go to hivbigdeal.org. You might see a couple of us who were involved in the production as extras. That's the world of nonprofit, right? And as a matter of fact, if you click on that link, the very first video you'll go to, you'll see will be Ask Me, Tell Me. There will be another link provided if you want to see Pregúntame, Dime, the Spanish version of the video. So this is my contact information. Please bear with me. Once 4 o'clock hits, I have to shoot out the door because I have a flight to go to another conference in Houston. But if you want to contact me to get the slide, the handouts are provided on the APHA website, or you can get them directly from me at this email. Thank you so much.